This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors, of course. Our phone number here is 410-922-6680. That stands for 410-WCBM-680, which is our call letters, WCBM, which you're listening to, and our location on the dial. Digitally, that's 680. So the phone number is 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680, 800 if you live in Maryland, WCBM-680, 800-922-6680 is our phone number. Email address, Ellis, my last name, E-L-L-I-S, at Ellis Outdoors, with an S on the end, EllisOutdoors.com. And we've been getting emails from you, particularly on the gun issues and things like that. We're always looking forward to seeing your emails. But, yeah, we're here to talk about whatever you want to talk about. Fishing. 2 inches of rain all over the eastern shore the other day. A little bit of snow. Filled up all the tributaries to Chesapeake Bay for the most part. I was at the spillway at Tuckahoe the other day. And the spillway coming out of the lake was about maybe only 3 feet below the bridge. The woods below the spillway was filled with water. It was an amazing sight. So flood stage for one of the most popular areas for perch fishing and trout fishing and crappie fishing. I don't know if there are any areas that are fishable for perch on the traditional fishing grounds on the shore today. I can't tell you that. It's not a good day anyway. East wind is not going to help you. But you know what? The wind has pushed pushed water up into the tributaries as well. So you just want to be careful out there if you're going out and give it a try. Hillsboro and those areas kind of look like chocolate milk when I was there the other day, and that was just 2 days ago. So, you know, you can give it a shot if you want. There's Bob in Dundalk. He wants to talk about something. He wants to talk some hunting stories. Okay, good morning, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing all right, sir.
No, it's Alan.
You knew something. You touched my heart the other day.
I did?
Yeah, you sure did.
Okay.
And you were explaining that you were adopted.
I was.
You were, right.
Yeah, I was.
What?
I was adopted.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
And you know, some of you told me you had some really good hunting experiences with your adopted father.
I did.
You know something, Alan, that is really, like, super.
Well,
I mean, I don't know if you were confused as a young child, like, dealing with the adoption.
Well, that's the interesting part, Bob. I didn't find out I was adopted till I was 43 years old.
Isn't that nice?
Well, I don't know. It screwed me up for a while.
Well, I think it's nice as an adult.
Do you?
Yeah, I sure do. Because
you weren't sitting in the living room when my parents told me.
Well, may I say something to you?
Sure.
Since you found that later in life.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you knew any. Well, you know, hey, let me just say this. They, you know, you knew that they loved you.
Well, sure.
No matter what. And you didn't know matter what.
That's right.
Isn't that nice?
Well, yeah, it's nice. I mean, I'm not kicking about my childhood. I had a great childhood.
Well, the question is, who introduced you to the hunting experience?
Well, You know, that's a good question. I tried to share that that story.
I'm smiling, Alan.
Well, I'm glad. Here's kind of what happened. As a kid, I was always interested in nature. I mean, I was always reading books about birds and dinosaurs and bugs and that type of thing. And when
science, right?
What's that?
Science, right?
Yeah, science. And I mean, from little up, I mean, as a small kid, I'm talking 6 years old, I was always interested in that kind of stuff. And when we moved to, when we moved kind of out in the country, away from the town life, I was in heaven. There was a creek that ran through the property. There was a couple hundred acres I could explore. And, you know, I was catching minnows in the creek and crayfish and that type of thing. And it was kind of a natural progression. The guys that worked for my dad in the maintenance department and in the, you know, the guys that cut the grass.
You had a big family, right?
Well, I had more of an extended family. But those guys would bring their hunting magazines in to read in the shop on their break. And there was Fish, Field, and Stream, there was Outdoor Life, there was Sports Afield. Those magazines were all, you know, they were just kind of scattered around on workbenches and stuff, and I started picking them up and reading them, and I really got interested in the hunting and fishing. And I started reading the classics, you know, Jack O'Connor and A.J. McLean and Russell Annabelle and Ted Trueblood, Tapley, and, you know, those guys back in the day in the 60s, and that really sparked my interest. And I thought a long, long time ago, what a great profession they had was to go and hunt and fish and write about it and experience those things. And here I am. So,
well, my question really is, besides the confusion,
I wasn't
really
confused.
Enjoy everything that you're saying to everybody on your station.
What confusion are you talking about?
As far as, you know, it's like some kids, they might, you know, feel like, well, you know, they really are my parents and this and that.
I was never confused about that. I still call my dad and my mom.
You know, it's really
I know who my birth mother is. I never met my birth father. I know where he is. I know his name, but that's about it. I've never sought to track him down and confront him or anything like that. My birth mother, you know.
The reason I raise the question is that aren't you glad you experienced what you're experiencing, you know, now and then, even though you were adapted?
Well, yeah, I mean,
some
of the things you can change, some of the things you can't. I grew up, I had a very, very, very good upbringing as an only child, and it helped shape who I am today. And you know, I took on the ethics of my adopted father. You know, I took on his ethics and his view of the world. Like I said, I don't know what his views are on the world or anything like that of my birth father. My birth mother, you know, thank God I didn't take on some of her attributes. So, just the way it is.
May I say this?
I mean, I think, 6 half-brothers and sisters to 4 or 5 different fathers or something like that. So, you know, that was her life, not mine.
May I say this?
Sure.
Thank God you have the life you had, right?
That's right.
Hi, Mr. Allen. Good enough, sir.
All right, Bob.
Well, I just felt a little concerned about your well-being.
Why?
God bless you.
Wait. Why were you concerned about my well-being?
Well, you know, because I just felt like some children in this world, they feel like they've been, you know, like a clam shucked. And I don't want them to feel like that, you know?
No, I understand.
Some parents that adopt a child want the best for them.
Yeah.
Just as yours have for you.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm trying to, you know.
Oh, okay.
Usually I ask about crabs.
What?
Usually I ask about crabs.
Yeah, I know. Sure. All right.
And Mr. Allen, you really do have a nice, as everybody else say, show. And I hope you continue to go for like 25 more years, sir.
25 more years. I won't I won't be here in 25 years, brother. Someday I'll tell you how I'm going to go out of this life. So, all right,
hey,
Bob.
Happy hunting, brother.
Thanks, man. See ya.
Yes, sir.
Bye-bye. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Love to hear from you. A lot of stuff going on. We had a good week. Sunday, we were at the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation banquet in Clarksville. That was the Baltimore chapter. And I was able to host that, be the master of ceremonies there, and talk to a lot of nice people. And hopefully we raised some money for the Elk Foundation there. Monday, my buddy Dave, Delmarva Dave, invited me, and Donna and I invited us to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes banquet at Martin's West, and we got to listen to Coach Harbaugh share his testimony and his experiences, and it was very, very nice, a very nice event, huge events. 1,700 people were in the room. Food was good. Fellowship was good. The coach was exceptional as far as his speech was concerned. Very much enjoyed that. A lot of hope out there for our young athletes with the FCA. Let's see. Tuesday, don't remember. Wednesday, don't remember much. Thursday, the board meeting at QDMA. We went to that. We talked about the upcoming banquet, which is this coming Saturday evening in Westminster. If you'd like to go, you're certainly welcome to contact me, and I'll put you on to where you can get the tickets. Lot of good door prizes and raffles and things to be given away, as well as you know, good people that. And if you want to talk about deer hunting and share your stories, you're welcome to do that. It's the Quality Deer Management Association, so good people involved in that, and we want to make sure you're aware of that banquet. what did we do Monday and Tuesday? Monday something, the banquet. Tuesday. Oh, Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday. I remember what happened Tuesday. Went to testify on Senate Bill 619, which is the Wildlife Sustainability Act. And I've been in Annapolis a few times and testified on a number of things. And it was a very interesting experience. It's interesting to watch how the Maryland Legislative Sportsman's Foundation works and how they have the ear of some of the how they had the ear of some of the senators on the committee. And Senator Astle was there. We were Tuesday. There were a lot of bills in the committee. I think there were a total of 14 or 18 bills, something like that. I can't remember. It was a lot of them. But the bottle bill hearing was there, and all the environmentalists and business owners and things like that testified for and against the bottle bill for 2 hours and 45 minutes in front of the Senate committee. That was interesting to watch that group running up and down the hall. The personality types that go along with being an environmentalist is extremely interesting to me. However, we were second on the docket, thanks to Senator Astle. We had two panels, one four-member panel, one five-member panel to testify, and that all went out the window when we were ready to go in the room. Brevity was what we were called for, was what it called for. After 2 hours and 45 minutes of droning on the bottle bill, the Senate committee was not in any mood for another extended conversation because they had so many bills to hear. I mean, when the thing opens at 1 o'clock and it's 3:45 before you walk in the room, it's 4 o'clock. Well, Senator Astle did a great job. The foundation did a great job. The members of the panel who are members of the sportsman's community did a great job. Even Tammy Sinelli, who testified on behalf of the Humane Society of the United States, did a good job. My testimony was basically, me too, I agree. And that was good. 12 minutes in, out, done. Two questions from the committee. And we were on our way. So hopefully we'll hear this week whether they move that bill out of committee or not. This is the Wildlife Sustainability Act that that has a lot of elements to it. And if you're interested in it, give us a call here at 410-922-6680, and we'll talk about it. Anything you'd like to talk about? Let's see, where did I get up to? Thursday, board meeting. Friday, yesterday, a lot of work. Did a lot of work in East Baltimore yesterday. We're working on Maryland Loves Crabs, the magazine. And I'll throw this out to you. If you have a crab recipe, if you have a picture of you or somebody involved in any kind of crabbing, whether it's eating them or cracking them or fishing for them, we'd love to have your picture, your recipe, your story for Maryland Loves Crabs. And if you have a nonprofit organization that is having a crab event sometime this year, let us know that too. Ellis@ellisoutdoors.com is the email address. And if you want the website for Maryland Loves Crabs, it's www.mdlovescrabs.com. Hey, it's time for us to take a short break, and we will be right back after this. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did, with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner.
Hey, tomorrow's the last day of Clyde Sport Shop annual 10-day sale featuring Shakespeare fishing products as well as the great rods and reels from Pfluger. Now the Tidewater trolling rods with a roller trip and a stripper guide. They have a gimbal, the TW66 6-foot, 6-inch trolling rod, 3-aught and 4-aught sizes. $39.95 is where they start. You've got the Great Penn trolling reels also on sale. The Tryon bait casters from Pfluger and the Tryon GX spinning reels, they're just $39.95. The Surf and Pier combo from Shakespeare on sale, $34.95. All the ugly sticks, that's right, the ugly sticks from Surf to Ultralight are all on sale at Clyde Sport Shop. And don't forget, you can fill your reels with quality monofilament line from folks like Stren and Trilene. Bring it in. It starts at just 1 cent a yard. You take your reel in with the empty the old crap and crappy line off your spool before you take it in there, and let them fill it with premium mono for just 1 cent per yard, or you know, half price if it's normally a three or four cent line per yard. You get it for a penny and a half or 2 cents. It's all half price mono line. It's a 2013. 10-day sale, Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Get ready for fishing season. It's 242-6108. The phone number is 242-6108. The location, again, is 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road. The website is www.clydesports.com. And don't forget that fishing hotline, 247-3474. That's 247-FISH.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
The following is a paid announcement.
Governor O'Malley wants to enact laws that burden the right of self-defense for the law-abiding citizen. These restrictions will deny rights to those least able to afford them. The governor openly admits he wants to tax a civil right and make it a profit center for Maryland. The governor proposes laws that violate American values. His laws will not target criminals. His laws will only convert the lawful into criminals. The governor's penalties against law-abiding people will cause the loss of jobs, security clearances, and could even stop you from getting a mortgage. The governor's laws will subject active duty service members to prison time if they cannot register their firearms while serving overseas. They will subject young hunters to prison time for possessing common hunting ammunition. And you'll risk prison for not knowing to register a hunting firearm that the state previously approved you to own. Gun control helps no one. This message brought to you by Maryland Citizens. Learn more at MarylandShallIssue.org.
Don't miss the best of Rush Limbaugh on Rush's Weekend Review every Saturday afternoon from 12 to 3 on the most powerful names in talk, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Yeah, Breaker 19, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben? Come on. Yeah, 10-4, Big Ben, for sure, for sure. By golly, it's clean clear to Flagtown. Come on. Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Big Ben. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we got us a convoy.
It was the dark of the moon on the 6th of June in a Kenworth pulling logs. Cab over Pete with a reefer on and a Jimmy hauling hogs. We is heading for Bear on I-10 about a mile out of Shaky Town. I says, Pigpen, this here's a rubber duck and I'm about to put the hammer down.
Cause we got a little convoy.
All right, let's go to our buddy Charles in Baltimore. Good morning, Charles. How are you this morning, sir?
I'm just fine. I hope you're well.
I'm well.
That's good. I had a pharmacy background in the 30s and 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an uncle that had the pharmacy Cooper's on Park and North Avenue.
Okay.
And he had very eclectic, exotic taste, and he went to South America and he bought back curare.
Oh my.
And we had a supply of that if you wanted it for anything.
Curare?
Curare.
Sure.
Yeah. And
yeah.
He bought back blowgun.
Yeah, I was going to say I need a little curare to tip my blowgun dart.
Yeah. But one of the interesting things is and Humphrey Bogart brought back my pass in a movie he made called African Queen.
I remember that.
Leeches on himself.
Sure.
And my uncle sold leeches. And he got the kids in the neighborhood to go down to Jones Falls, and you got 10 leeches for $1. And, of course, they were used in hypertension or high blood pressure.
Sure.
And Stalin had them all on his neck trying to bring his blood pressure down. At any rate, I wondered if those leeches were still living in Jones Falls around North Avenue. And it was a very interesting situation that would develop with these leeches. A lot of memories from the 40s and 50s.
People, if people don't understand what a leech is, it is it's a little invertebrate that attaches to your skin with its jaws attached to your skin, and so does its rear end. It has a little hook mechanism back there. And it just looks like almost like the tip of your finger, maybe a little more elongated than that. And it bites you, it injects an anticoagulant so that as it sucks the blood from your body, it does not coagulate, and it allows the free flow of blood into the body of the leech. And once it is finished eating, it'll drop off. But in the movie, The African Queen, as we recall, Humphrey Bogart, who was towing the boat through the backwaters of Africa, came out of the stream and had leeches all over his body. And anybody who's ever had a leech on them in the water, maybe you're wet wading and do some fishing. I got one time when I was fishing in the North Branch of the Potomac. And, I basically pulled the thing off, and that little tiny wound, about the size of the head of a pin, it was a very small leech, about the size of the head of a pin, bled continuously the rest of the day. There was that much anticoagulant injected by that little leech. And they're very disgusting. Not that they'll hurt you, but as you said, they're used to. They were used then. It was believed that they could control hypertension by removing some of the blood from the body. I think they're also used in medicine for in surgery, even today, aren't they, Charles?
Yes, in old-time medicine. And my uncle paid $1 for 10 of them and
sure.
sold each one for $5.
I bet he did, sure. Hey, nothing wrong with the free enterprise system, that's for sure.
Well, in Africa, I got them all over me.
Did you?
And
they're very unpleasant.
The only way you could get them out was with a match.
Yeah.
You would they'd let loose.
Yeah.
When they were burned.
Yeah. Yeah, but that wound did not heal for a while, did it? I mean, it continued
no,
to ooze
no.
blood for.
It was very. Tenacious.
And at that point, you have to be aware of infection at that point.
And it's like a tick where you don't want to break off the head or anything.
Right.
You get in a
Yeah, they could actually, on their jaws, they actually have more of a grinding surface than teeth, but they are, as you said, tenacious, that's for sure. Very good.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Bye.
See you, Charles. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Give us a call here, folks. I know it's early, but we're looking to be entertained by your call. That's for sure. Hey, today's smart green and growing tip from Maryland Department of Natural Resources is this. While shopping, think twice before you grab that plastic bag at the register. If you're only purchasing a few items, leave the bag behind or bring a reusable sack along to reduce the amount of unnecessary waste. I don't know. Do you have a reusable sack sitting around your house somewhere? I mean, you know, they're talking about these permanent grocery bags. I guess it's a good idea if you want to pack those along, but, you know, hey, our tip of the day, our smart green and growing tip says, if you're only buying a few items, leave the bag behind. So if you get, you know, just like three things, like a gallon of milk, maybe a pound of butter, maybe an 8-pack roll of paper towels, forget the bag. Just carry all that stuff out in your arms to the truck. Absolutely. Throw a dozen eggs in there, too, you know. That would be like a juggling act. So, but don't worry about the bag, the plastic bag. And I like the fact that it says, think twice before you grab your plastic bag at the register. I'm usually not the one that initiates packing the groceries in the bag at the register. So I think we need to have a counseling session with all those people in the line that are checking out our groceries. I think we need to advise them that maybe they should educate us as consumers that, do you know, by the way, if you bring a bag along, we'll pack your own bag for you? And we have them for sale over here. They're only $9. That's right. You can pick up a reusable shopping bag for $9. Rather than a plastic bag that conveniently carries your groceries home. Yeah, let's have a re-education process for all checkout clerks at all supermarkets in Maryland. I think we ought to have a law. Let's call somebody like, oh, I don't know, Senator Frosch from Montgomery County and have him introduce something. What do you think? Oh, wait. We've already had that. 410-922-6680. Save me from myself today, ladies and gentlemen. All right. We had a very interesting week also. I had mentioned this a long time ago, back in November when it started, but now the folks here in Maryland have become aware of the impact of the sequestration on the sport fish restoration program, the wildlife restoration program, the boating safety trust fund, collectively called the trust funds, have been sequestered. This is the Pittman-Robertson and Wallet-Breaux Act. which is the excise tax collected from the manufacturers. And here's what happened. Implementation of the Budget Control Act of 2011, that's sequestration, requires that 5.1% of the nation's wildlife and sport fish restoration programs and boating safety trust fund, collectively called the trust fund, be sequestered or be withheld from distribution to the states. The trust funds are the collection of excise taxes paid by industry, not federal income taxes, to the federal government from the purchase of bows and arrows, guns and ammunition, fishing tackle and equipment, and motorboat fuel. The money will not be diverted from the trust funds to the U.S. Treasury for other uses, but the funds will be unavailable to the states for their intended purposes every year that sequestration is in effect. Now, these funds are crucial to wildlife management, fisheries management here in Maryland. When Fisheries and Wildlife were asked about how sequestration would affect their federal funding, Fisheries was first to respond. And the amount, as of Thursday, I believe, is going to be for the next fiscal year about $400,000 in shortfall on these funds. Now, keep in mind that these funds have been collected. This is a self-imposed tax. This is the American model of conservation funding, where you and I, when we purchase fishing tackle, when we purchase firearms and ammunition, when we purchase certain amounts of boat motor fuel for our boats, an excise tax has already been added into the cost. We've already paid it. Okay? This comes back to the states based on a couple of different factors, including the number of licenses sold as a reimbursement of these funds. In other words, when you pay for your fishing rod and reel, you've already paid the cost of that excise tax is built in. That money goes to the Internal Revenue Service and is then comes back to the states in a formula. And this is a sport fish restoration fund. There's a wildlife restoration fund. There's a boating safety trust fund. These monies go to pay for things like hunter education and boating education courses and keep the cost down to you and I so you don't have to pay, you know, $100 to get your kid licensed in the state of Maryland to go hunting. So that money, part of that money, has been sequestered. This hunting and fishing and boating conservation community has not been successful in finding an administrative remedy to the problem. More specifically, the Office of Management and Budget, on advice of its counsel and in consultation with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, has interpreted the sequestration exemption for trust funds paid from excise taxes to mean that the payments of the excise taxes into the Wildlife and Sport Fish Restoration Fund and Boating Trust Fund are exempt from sequestration, but the appropriations of funds out of these trust funds to implement the purposes of the trust funds are not exempt. In other words, they can continue to collect the money, but they don't necessarily have to distribute the money. You can't stop them from collecting the money, which is a good thing. This is what one of the funding mechanisms for fish and wildlife restoration and conservation, hunter safety education and other boating education and others. You can't sequester collecting the money, but you don't have to distribute it back out under sequestration. By withholding $21 million from wildlife restoration, $23 million from sport fish restoration, and $6 million, a $50 million total, from these funds, the Budget Control Act of 2011 will adversely affect states' ability to manage their fish and wildlife resources in the public interest and will cut millions of dollars available for fish, wildlife, and habitat conservation, hunting, angling, boating, and recreational shooting activities in every state. Currently, there is no consistent substitute or replacement mechanism for the loss of these operating funds. Thank you. We want to thank the Obama administration for cutting money for wildlife and fisheries management and boating safety. Let's talk to Vince in Chestertown. Good morning, Vince. How are you?
Alan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad. First thing I want to touch on real briefly, we have a plastic ban in Chestertown. You can't have plastic bags when you go to a grocery store. You have to have paper or carry it.
I'm shocked. Chestertown.
And they do sell them little bags. And the people bring their cloth bag with them.
I know.
It's wild.
They're protecting the environment over there, you know. You never see a plastic bag blowing in the wind or hung on a bush over there in Chestertown, do you?
I don't know how many brown paper bags I got at the house. I don't know what in the heck I'm going to do with. Anyway, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
All this money they're going to hold, is it going to collect interest?
No. You got to be kidding me.
And the other thing is this.
That's a good question. If you think about that, that's an excellent question.
The other thing is this. I watched the news last night, and they're talking about the sequester and how we're being played politically because one of the examples was the airports.
Yeah.
Where they're giving 20 or 30 million to little airports where they only may get one private plane a week.
Right.
But they're not cutting their money out.
Right.
You know, they're cutting it where they can get the most reaction from the public to gain some type of political upmanship.
Of course they do. Of course they are.
I don't know why we keep putting up with this stuff. I mean, when are we going to wake up and tell these people, you know, we run the show. You're just up there to...
Because people are stupid. They think that first of all, half the people don't vote, number one. Number two, the people are sheep, so we follow our politicians rather than grab them by the short hairs and make them do what we want them to do. That's their job, to do our will. We elect them to do what we want done. We did not elect these people to take away our civil rights and our constitutional rights. We elected them to uphold them. And to protect our rights.
Oh, I agree. 100%. I don't know what it takes to wake the American people up anymore.
Do you know what APHIS, APHIS stands for?
What? No.
In the government?
What?
APHIS is the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. There are APHIS offices, if you'll notice, between, let's say, the Wawa or McDonald's headed to the Bay Bridge and the Bay Bridge. In that right-hand side there in the shopping center, there are big signs there that talk about APHIS government offices, okay? These people are the ones who inspect and protect aquaculture from invasive species. These are the people that carry out the nutria eradication program, allegedly, here in Maryland.
Okay.
Here's what they said. In the email sent Monday by Charles Brown, an official with the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service office in Raleigh, North Carolina, Mr. Brown asked, quote, if there was any latitude, end quote, in how to spread the sequester cuts across the region to lessen the impact on fish inspections. He said he was discouraged by officials in Washington who gave him this reply, quote, we have gone on record with a notification to Congress and whoever else that APHIS would eliminate assistance to producers in 24 states in managing wildlife damage to the aquaculture industry unless they provide funding to cover the cost. So it is our opinion that however you manage that reduction, you need to make sure you are not contradicting what we said the impact would be.
I'm telling you.
Quote, this email confirms what many Americans have suspected. The Obama administration is doing everything they can to make sure their worst predictions come true and to maximize the pain of the sequester cuts for political gain, said Representative Tim Griffin, an Arkansas Republican. Mr. Brown, the official who sent the email and who is Eastern Regional Director for Wildlife Services at APHIS, I'm going to consider that to be Maryland, didn't immediately return a call Tuesday afternoon seeking comment. Of course not. Another bureaucrat.
Hey, Alan.
Yes, sir.
Can I sequester my tax return?
No.
It's a bite.
Huh?
Oh, Lord. All right, Alan. Well, listen. I'll talk to you later.
Hey, Vince, just got a great idea. Here's a buddy.
What's that?
Here's a buddy that writes me. He says, please save the bags for me, the plastic bags. I have people at my work and my wife's work saving the plastic bags for me to stuff an archery target. So please use more bags, and please save them for me.
I get all the papery ones, but if they get wet, it ain't going to hold up.
By the way, thanks for your tip last week about not using your water while not in use. I wised up and started turning off both the shower and the kitchen faucet when I leave for work.
I love it. That's great.
Oh, man.
Oh, Lord.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good day. I'm going to work.
All right. Hey, Vince, how's the water over there? Fishable?
The water? Yeah, matter of fact, I was going down to the Tuckahoe here first next week. It's going to be nice and see if I can't fly fish for some yellow perch.
Yeah, well.
There's nothing to come up Millington a couple of days ago.
No, I'm asking you about the abundance of the flow. I went over the bridge at the spillway there at Tuckahoe the other day, and it was about 2 feet under the bridge.
Yeah.
It was up in the woods.
I haven't been down that way in a couple of days, but I'm going to check her out first a week.
Let us know.
Will do.
Thanks, man.
See you.
Bye. Hey, it's time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shops or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center. Prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. Now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you are lucky enough to catch a Maryland Citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify for the fishing challenge. So stop by your local fishing citation center, check out the fishing rule book, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2013 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Citation Fish Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Unique analysis on local, national, and international developments on the Tom Marr Show, weekdays 9 to noon on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Yeah! Yeah! Here comes Amos! Moses was a Cajun. He lived by himself in the swamp. They hunted alligator for a living. They just knock him in the head with a stomp. The Louisiana law gonna get you, Amos. It ain't legal hunting alligator down in the swamp, boy. Now everybody blamed his old man for making him mean as a snake. When Amos Moses was a boy, his daddy would use him for alligator bait. Tie a rope around his waist and throw him in the swamp. Alligator bait in the Louisiana Bayou. About 45 minutes southeast of Tippin' Old Louisiana.
All right, so... Anyway, we've got money being cut from Maryland in our fisheries program and in our wildlife program, and no comments from our listeners. Whatever. Hey, look, if you voted for the guy that's in the big house on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, if you voted for him, then maybe you should be calling us up and telling us why this is a good thing. Ah, the lifeblood of the state fish and wildlife agencies is the trust fund. Day-to-day operating budgets. State agencies use their trust fund apportionments exclusively to restore and manage fisheries and wildlife and their habitats, open and maintain recreational access for all, including shooting ranges, and deliver hunter and boater safety education. The wildlife and sport fish restoration laws require states to provide a 25% non-federal state-funded match to receive the 75% allocated from their trust funds. If the annual trust funds are withheld from apportionment and banked, states may not be able to raise a significant match or have carried forward spending authority when the funds are released. How do we fix this? Congress can exempt the trust funds from sequestration by amending the exemption provision found in Section 255 of the 1985 Graham-Rudman-Hollings Act. Amend 2 U.S.C. 905 exempt programs and activities, quote, so as to include appropriations from such trust funds in addition to payments to such funds. But somebody has to do that. Somebody actually has to draft legislation to make that adjustment, make that exemption in Congress. You think it's going to be one of your congressmen? You think? Maybe we get Andy Harris on that. What do you think? I'm not sure anybody else would do it. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Here's a question from a listener. Why is the USDA doing control work for private aquaculture operations anyway when there are private operators ready and willing and able to do the work? Good question. So there's also a comment about the Nutria program. So not that I disagree. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. I'm going to take a slurp of coffee here while we're waiting for your call. Did we miss anybody? No. Well, by the way, I want to tell you about our buddy Sean Mann. Sean is, of course, a longtime world champion goose caller from Talbot County. And Sean has created a very successful business called Sean Mann Outdoors. The website is Sean Mann, SEANMANN.com, and you will find there the variety of all the waterfowl calls that are created by Sean and marketed by Sean Mann, and you can actually listen to some of the calls, how to use them, and that type of thing, are on that website, and we urge you to visit that website, SeanMann.com. Now, if you'd like to call the office and inquire about hunting in the prairie region of Canada with Sean, you may do that. He has a great waterfowl facility up there, and he takes folks beginning mid-August, late August, and some of the most fantastic waterfowl hunting I've ever heard of. Not been yet, but I plan on going someday. 800-345-4539, 800-345-4539. That's the office number. Someone who answers the phone may be able to help you with your inquiry. The office is right here in Talbot County, down near Easton, and Sean is stuck right here in Maryland and manufactures his calls here. So, SeanMann.com, 800-345-4539. I would suggest if you're going to purchase a call as a beginner, purchase the Eastern Shoreman, the long call, and learn to use that. It's very easy to operate, and it does reproduce all the sounds of a Canada goose. It's one I learned on, and you can too. Let's talk to Hillary in Glen Burnie. Morning, Hillary. How are you?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm good. What's up?
Hey, I just kind of, you know, started listening when you were talking about Obama and some of the sequester funds, which might, you know, affect what's going on here in Maryland.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not at all surprising because, I mean, look how he's, you know, obviously trying to go after guns and stuff. And, you know, I mean,
he's got a complicit administration in Annapolis.
Right. So it's that's not at all surprising, but. What I did call you about also is...
Okay, it's not at all... let me stop you right there, Hillary. Okay. It's not at all surprising, but you understand that, you know, $500,000 from fisheries and $500,000 from wildlife is devastating to our management here in Maryland. They don't have that big a budget anyway, and guess what? There's no public funding, especially for wildlife. That's why the Wildlife Sustainability Act is so important. That's Senate Bill 619 that's in front of the Senate committee right now and the bill that we testified on the other day.
Well, can't Andy Harris kind of get on this?
Harris can probably get on this. Yeah, that's what I just said. He's probably the only one of our members of Congress who would be concerned enough to do it.
Right. I mean, and isn't Obama, though, his administration, isn't he supposed to be all about, you know, the environment and
smoke and mirrors.
Of course. So. I had called you, gosh, it's probably been about a year ago.
Yep,
now.
I remember.
And I've never hunted before, but I started listening to your show and I found it kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, I mean, I'm not a PETA person or anything, but I really love animals. It's never occurred to me to hunt. However, I am kind of getting into guns now.
Okay.
And a neighbor of mine hunts, and I know there's, you know, there's birds and...
Sure. Well, Hillary, let me make a quick suggestion since we're running out of time. Go to the Department of Natural Resources website.
Okay.
Go to the wildlife section. It's one of the buttons that's on the top bar, wildlife.
Uh-huh.
There you can explore all the options, you can read the rules, and you can find where you can take a hunter safety course.